This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
I wear garments stretched by hands from all over the world. 35% cotton, 65% polyester. The journey begins in Central America in the cotton fields of El Salvador. In a province soaked in blood, pesticide sprayed workers toiled in a broiling sun, pulling cotton for $2 a day. Then we move on up to another rung, Cargill. A top 40 trading conglomerate takes the cotton through the Panama Canal, up the eastern seaboard, coming to the U.S. of A for the first time, in South Carolina, at the Burlington Mills. Joins a shipment of polyester filament courtesy of the New Jersey Petrochemical Mills of DuPont. DuPont strands of filament begins in the South American country of Venezuela, where oil riggers bring up oil from the earth for $6 a day. Then Exxon, largest oil company in the world, upgrades the product in the country of Trinidad and Tobago, then back into the Caribbean and Atlantic seas to the factories of DuPont on the way to the Burlington Mills in South Carolina to meet the cotton from the blood-soaked fields of El Salvador. In South Carolina, Burlington factories hum with the business of weaving oil and cotton into miles of fabric for Sears, who takes his bounty back into the Caribbean Sea, headed for Haiti this time. May she be one day soon free. Far from the Port-au-Prince Palace, third world women toil doing piece work to see a specification for $3 a day. My sisters make my blouse. It leaves the third world for the last time, coming back into the sea to be sealed in plastic for me, this third world sister. And I go to the Sears department store where I buy my blouse on sale for 20% discount. Are my hands clean?
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Beautiful day here, and looking forward for all days with the sky is just awesome. Towering clouds, rain dropping, and as you come into IEL, beautiful. I mean, you think you've died and gone to heaven, or you think you're living in heaven, however you want to put it, but it's beautiful. You can pick us up at carolcox.com, live on the internet. You can listen there through your computer or through your cell phone, or you can go to KWAI.com. 1080 AM, and tune in there, and you can get the same show, and feel free to call in 524-1080. Now, they say repetition can be good, and it could be just as bad, because you run the risk of boring people, and they'll say, "I've heard that." But in this effort, when I come in on Sunday mornings, I'm just trying to fill a void for some of us that are frustrated, and we see things that are going wrong, and we attempt to address them best we can, and we recognize, and I say we because I speak to many of you out there. Oh, and by the way, thank you for all of you that approach me and say that you listen to the show, and that you don't call in, but you listen to the show. I really appreciate that, because, you know, at some point, the word may get out that I'm sitting in the studio talking to myself. And I don't want to give that image or be known as a guy who talks to himself. So thank you, all of you. And what's really fascinating is some of you say that I'm standing in a crowd or speaking or in a restaurant, and you say, I recognize that voice. You must be. Wow. So that's pretty good. So tell your friends. I mean, you're not going to get a PhD when you listen to this show, and probably won't even get an AA. But what you will be, you'll find relief for the moment. And just like some of the old over-the-counter drugs that you see, they're not going to cure anything. But it's just, satisfaction for the time being. You still got a tooth that has a cavity in it, but it aches, so you take a strong dose of Tylenol, so it fixes it. So I like to think of myself as being a little bit more than over-the-counter drugs, but the intent is to let the politicians and the government officials know that they are a pain in the patoot, and so by doing that, we're going to ask them questions. I'm not an expert. I don't pretend to be one. But I'm good at asking questions. My mother tells me that was the worst thing about my childhood and her knowing me. I asked questions, don't care what it was. You know, questions that had never been formulated, I would ask them. So anyway, having said all of that, now last week and the week before, I talked to you about a situation where the discussion was the city and county of Honolulu, and this is sound repetitive, but you know me, I'm always looking for the truth, and I'm always willing to convey that what I find back to you. What does this mean? You may not be interested in hippopotamuses or hippopotamus eye, but you may be interested in the jungle that we call government. And you might be wanting to know how the chimpanzees and the monkeys and the zebras and the spotted leopards behave in government. So, and the cheetahs and the hyenas, whatever. But in this case, this is a real live, no metaphor, an actual hippopotamus. We're going to call her Rosie. You know, human beings, we tend to like to give a name to everything. Nonetheless, Rosie, as we called her for many years, along with her fellow pen mates or encaptured mates, had to stand in water that they start off in the morning, about a 30 to 40 gallon tank, and they would, they were aquatic animals, and even though they're a mammal, and they defecate and they fecate and they urinate in the water that they stand on. But in nature, in the natural setting, you know, there's a process. It settles down. There's a stream possibly and moving, and so there's a current. But in the city and county of Honolulu, a 30 to 40-gallon tank would serve as a holding area so that you and Junior and Angie and all the other little kids and Grandma and all those want to come in and peer at this animal that should be in the wild. But being that we do put them in captivity, that's what happens. But imagine, for all of these years, they decided to put them in that water, and they defecate, and at the end of the day, it's described as one horrendous mess. So you spend all of your life for the last 10, 15, 20 years standing and waiting and breathing in your own urine, in your own feces, because the city and county of Honolulu did not have a filtration system that would have served that purpose. So, in cleaning that water. So, believe it or not, we were actually, I'm told, and by the way, a lot of this information, I have talked directly to workers, and I'll leave it at that, at the zoo. The mayor will not talk to me, and I don't know what the explanation is. They, on one hand, they say, well, you asking questions, Mr. Cox. We've been told to treat you as media. But then when I put my media hat on, they then tell me, oh, in order to get any answers, any questions you have, you'll have to put it in UIPA. So there's a bit of confusion here that this mayor is seeming to employ, that he, relying on that. But we'll get to the bottom of it as to why he see me as a different animal than what he terms. And by the way, his folks, his Jesse Broder Van Dyke, will not return. But these are, I guess what happens is that everybody hire their friends' children, and so you have this insulating screen that blocks the door because you got a job. The mayor knew your mother and father and your prominent name. So when the public call who you're serving, you don't answer them back because you're serving the mayor in that relationship, supposedly, rather than the people. But that's okay. We'll work through that, too. We have means. There are honest people in government, and they do talk, and they do steer us in the right direction to get what it is we need to reflect the truth. So in this effort, I told you last week, I had asked them questions regarding information that I had heard. And this is, you know, you're sorting through rumors, and but you know there's something there. You know that there's a death of a hippopotamus. So I inquire. They never answered my questions. Never. But they did find it time and a desire and a need to communicate to other media. And in that communication, it was asked. I'll just tell you what the question was. Why did the city suspend work on the 2.9 million hippo filtration system right after the hippo died? This is the official answer, folks, that they gave to other media while ignoring me, and I'm the one who wrote the initial request. I'm the one who basically broke the story or looking at the interest that this animal died from at the hands or actions or inactions that contribute to this by the city workers or the zoo workers, whatever you call them, and also the implication and inference was contractors and their workers. So I don't know the truth, so I'm inquiring, a probe. I send the questions, and I state clearly, is there any truth to these things? Now, you have a courtesy. You could write back and say, sorry, there's no truth to those, and thank you for your interest. But instead, never answer me and then communicate to the rest of the media while proclaiming that you're telling me you're looking for the answers because you want to get the answers right and you're not going to respond to me because you have 10 days to respond. This is the mayor's office and his staff and Jesse Broder Van Dyke and you know who knows who in this process. So I then am in receipt and learn that this, after asking again, why did the city suspend work on the 2.9 million hippo filtration system right after the hippo died? They said their official question answer is to give the other hippo, Louise, time to grieve. You see, zoo staff determined that if it would be in Louise's best interest to halt construction until she has fully recovered. Although Louise is improving, her keepers say she is clearly suffering the loss of her best friend. We will defer keepers and resume construction at the appropriate time. Now, I don't know if it's appropriate on a Sunday morning to call someone's written word a lie, but because it is Sunday, and I know if this was a Friday show, maybe I could be as harsh as I could, but I'm going to soft sell it and put a little spirituality in it and just say, I will read you the letter and you listen for yourself what their official statement is for stopping the work on approximately $3 million project that they wouldn't answer me at all, but they felt a need to answer the rest of the media. And so here goes. This is an official letter. And you listen to see if you hear that they stopped this work because it was out of love and joy and kumbaya for the animal and the grievance of the animal. You know, if you're that deep and you're caring for an animal grieving, something's wrong with your mental state anyway, because it takes some balls to muster up such an explanation when you're putting this animal in captivity and you know that he's been living in feces and drinking his own water and breathing and all of that for years. And now all of a sudden you have this great bleeding heart sympathetic compassion for this animal. If you really cared about his grievance, then you would take him and return him to a place where he can at least live and adapt and become wild again. Or maybe he was born in captivity. But whatever, give him a better caring. So if you're caring for his grievance, then you surely should be caring if he's drinking his own urine and breathing his own manure. But anyway, here's this letter. It is called it's a stop work order. And it was written on July 22nd. And you listen and tell me if you hear the reason is for grievance, allowing the animal, the surviving animal, to grieve. It's to Mr. Marvin Crail, K-R-A-E-L, Assistant Project Manager, Global Specialty Contractors, Inc., 5 Sand Island Access Road, Building 920. Honolulu. Now, I called this company, and they were not really wanting to talk, you see, because, you know, maybe they don't really want to put the truth out there because it may affect their possibility of getting other grants or other contracts or, you know, there's other government work, so you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, if you understand, or cut your nose off in spite of your face, but... Dear Mr. Creel, and it's written by the City and County of Honolulu Department of Design and Construction. Mark Yanamini is the engineer and acting director. So the letter goes, Dear Mr. Creel, subject, Honolulu Zoo Hippo Filtration System, contract number CTDDC-1300378. Job number 12, P as in Paul, -02. And here's the content. In accordance with the general condition of construction contracts, (7/99), Chapter 8, Dispute and Remedies, Section 8.1, Suspension of Work Item, A, 4. Unacceptable noise or dust arising from the construction, even if it does not violate any law or regulations. B, partial and total suspension. You are hereby directed, again, this is this letter now, you are hereby directed to suspend all construction activities for the Honolulu Zoo Hippo Filtration System Project until further notice. This suspension, and please listen up, this suspension of work is required due to the untimely death of one of the hippos. Should you have any questions related to this suspension of work, please do not hesitate to call Eddie Agas. And you folks can call him too. And if you're interested in caring about the animal or looking at the behavior of the animals in government, whatever. Eddie Agas at 768-8446. I'll post this on carolcox.com. Some of you that can't read between the lines or don't like to read between the lines, I'm just conveying to you, I initially wrote the questions and asked them, and they just flat out refuse, and then tell me, we will treat everything you send in as a Uniform Information Practices Act request. So therefore, we're not going to answer any questions or anything. But the meantime, they're moving ahead and contacting other media and right out calling me a liar, naming me specifically while pretending to be working on my questions, while pretending to be preparing answers to my questions and seeking documents that would respond to my Uniform Information Practices Act requests in a timely fashion. So I don't know, for some of you that are out there sensitive as to when a person, it could just be a misunderstanding, and there's that crowd. It could be that the mayor is just so busy, Or it could be that the gatekeepers are blocking the gate and not giving access. And could be all of those things. But the reality is, I know that the state law affords me and you, citizens, the right to inquire of government. The Uniform Information Practices Act 92F, we have that authority to actually request documents and ask the operations of the government when we are curious. Why am I being denied that? And later on in today's show, I'm going to demonstrate to you the willingness on the part of this mayor. If you think that he violates the rights of the children and the people on the streets and the homeless, I will tell you there's a greater insult in not to compare or minimize what is occurring with it. You've heard my comments about him and how he treat the homeless and the disrespect I equated to the Nazism in his actions, and I won't retract that because I've witnessed it firsthand. But this is the same thing. This gentleman, this mayor, and I'm at the end of the show today, the second hour and all, I believe you'll draw that same conclusion, or you will be closer to drawing a conclusion. It may not be in agreement with me. But when we burden ourselves with, when a citizen like myself write a question, a list of questions, and the mayor then refuses, but the questions then are asked by others, and they are quickly to answer, and then when I write those questions, I'm told, and they sit on them for a while, then I'm told, look, you need to put yours on this official form, these questions. We are told to treat your questions as a uniform information practice. We can't answer your questions just like we do others. So what we'll do is we'll just simply treat that. And then as the day goes on, I'll show you it's an insult to the common courtesy and the decency of government. And it is Mayor Caldwell, Kirk Caldwell, under his watch, is absolutely, it's as if the wearing of that plaid shirt that he wears to give you that impression that he's the people's man. I'm going to tell you something. He's not the people's man. He may be the handler's man. You know, the people with money and big money. But a little guy like myself, and I describe myself as a little guy because I don't want to present myself as being any different from anyone else. I'm just a citizen who's willing to sit and talk and inquire and dig. That's the only difference between you and me. We have these rights. This man called Kirk Caldwell, the mayor, has a laundry list of bad behavior. And why would you lie about tell the rest of the world that a hippopotamus? Now, I mean, these are things you have nothing to do with, nothing. You're running the city's affairs. And you gravitate to covering up and lying that you're worried about a hippopotamus grieving over the death, so that's why you stopped the taxpayers' concerns. You're spending our money and a $3 million project that has been determined that you needed it. And so you return the animals back to this same filthy water while you're claiming you want her to grieve. Maybe the tears in the eyes that you see in her sniffling, maybe that it's just from the strong ammonia that she's having to tolerate and ingest every day after fecating in the water. Maybe you misread the need for clean water opposed to grievance. I don't know. But it's sure funny. I hearken back to the behavior of measuring the sidewalk and rushing people off and herding them like cattle, like the Nazi, and all of that, and starving the little kids with no water, no food, sleeping on the sidewalks, and you're hustling them every day with your team of black boots. And then you have the audacity to tell the rest of the world in writing that you care for a hippopotamus, but you don't give a darn about people. That's the statement. But it goes on further. And I don't care if it is a hippopotamus or whatever. I hope you understand the message that I'm trying to present to you here. A lie is a lie is a lie. The question is, why do people lie? And then once we determine that, well, gee, well, that seems to be consistent with other policies and other practices. And when we ask other questions, and I task myself with trying to understand, if they know that I'm interested in it, they know I have a voice or some way of getting the word out, and they treat me like this, my question is, how are they treating you? 524-1080 is the number. I would love to hear. And I'd like to solicit, do you have experiences out there where you've asked for information and just been blown off by this mayor? Please, I would like to know, and maybe we can bring flesh some of these things out. But this document is clearly refutes, and I'm not going to take it personal while I'm waiting for their answers and they're promising to get me answers. They're out attacking me and just going, Carol Cox is basically lying and he doesn't know what he's asking, or not asking, he's making representations. But they know clearly in the written word, I ask, is there any truth to these things? And you refuse to answer, but you go on a campaign to attack my character. But it's interesting to note, the same thing happened with this same guy, Caldwell, when managing director and all of that, and mayor, is when I reported on the conditions at the landfill at Waimanalo. They went out on rare occasions to attack me and claim that my claims and representations to the media that medical waste and that the cell had collapsed was a false statement, when in fact I had pictures and had a report that stated it all. It wasn't my words, but they covered it up. So it's a joy sitting here in the morning talking about hippopotamus and all of those things, because it's a jungle out there, what we call a government. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Good morning.
You got any good statements? You've been cohorting with those guys. Tell me something good. What we got?
I wish I had something good to tell you.
Yeah, how do we get around people blocking you at the door and lying to you and not getting answers to it? I mean, you've been hanging around downtown a lot now. What's the key? How do we first get respect?
I don't have a clue. I just know that part of it is keeping as many people in the dark as possible. Not just you, but even other members of that are supposed to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we pay them to know. We pay them to represent us. And even they are...
Who is this?
Well, when I went to...
who is this council, that keeping us...
When I went to the city council... About the property tax?
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that, but I'm talking about...
Okay, but that's a pattern of keeping us in the dark.
Well, we want to... Hold on, Marsha.
You want me to name names?
No, I don't want you to name names. I want you to stay on track. I'm talking about Kurt Caldwell and his actions and his administration.
Okay.
We'll have time to talk about the city council and the garbage man.
Okay. Ray Soon is the gatekeeper.
Okay.
No matter what you, and he's Hawaiian, and no matter what you write to the mayor, you can't get through him. He's the stopper. And if you're getting something negative back, it comes from him. He is doing the mayor's bidding, so the mayor can come away and say, well, look, I didn't know, I'm a good guy. But they hire people to do these other skullduggery.
Isn't there a great risk that to promote such a theory in that to Caldwell, if that is true, that he is reckless and that he would not task himself with picking a person that represent and speak to his integrity, that would treat people and the taxpayers and the citizens as if he would treat them? You think he should rely on the fact that he could say, well, I really didn't know what he was doing? He chose him. He picked him. These are intimate relationships. So it's like an organ. It's like an extra arm, so to speak. So wherever the mirror itches or wherever he's being bothered by, he picks someone that will block all of these things
absolutely.
And comfort him.
So, absolutely. He picked somebody that he knew, or not just one person, but several somebodies
right.
that he knew would be the gatekeepers.
Right. Being a politician, and especially a mayor, where you have the ability to appoint, rises to the level or the equivalent of, and I don't mean to be insulting and say that this is people like dogs, but when you go to buy a dog, let's say, so and you have a company, do you want a dog that licks the hand of someone, or do you want a guard dog? Right? So you as a business person know exactly, you buy the dog or you acquire the dog to fit your needs. If you want a dog in your commercial that's smiling and selling cars, you pick one that smiles and talks. If you want one to sell bank commercials, you get a collie. But if you want a gatekeeper who's going to screw the people because you're in the process of screwing the people, guess what you get? You get a pit bull. Or Doberman Pinscher, and you breed them together, and then it's not a gatekeeper. It becomes a reflection of what Kurt Caldwell truly is. That's what it is. There's nothing about him being... If he's that reckless and just say, well, give me somebody for my chief of staff. Just anybody. Right?
Yep.
Well, were you on that list?
No. He was not. Absolutely. I've been talking back to him for years.
Well, and
he's a slippery eel.
Well, yeah, that's one good way of putting it, you know. But it gives eels a bad name, you know.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, eels can be social. This guy is serious. All that I can say, this gentleman is a beneficiary of the PRP effort against Cayetano, forcing the rail down the throats of people, all of that. He sits in the seat, and he prospers from these things, and nobody, shouldn't say nobody, I'm sure there's many of you out there, I've heard you speaking, that was a misstatement there, is aware of what he is and will take him to task. But when you stoop as low as guarding the gate to prevent, you know, and violate the rights of citizens, and I'm a citizen, something's wrong there. That becomes a whole different ball game.
And when you call on an individual like his chief of staff, then you see the punitive things that come back at you. The little things, but you know it's punitive. I mean, that's what I have witnessed from as a personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
The punitive little things, I know where it's coming from.
Well, this is why I task myself through the week and the months is to come up with specifics. You know, when we just take and apply generic terms, that could apply to anybody. I believe that if I'm going to waste the time of a listener, all two of you out there, I'm going to burden myself because I'm obligated to get beyond the rhetoric and the nonsense and the innuendos. Let's talk specifics. Let's name these people. Not name names, but associate a name and assign a name to the action.
Okay.
That's the way we're going to make a change. But when we say, well, it's the gatekeeper, but he's he picked the gatekeeper. And if he's out of touch that he isn't concerned with what the gatekeeper's done, you know, hey, looky here, let me know something here, Ray Soon. Is it too soon to fire you, or is it, you know, whatever? You know, but how's the people out there? How about the UIPA request? How's that flowing? Is there transition? Is there smooth? Is the people getting what they want? How is there transparency? No.
No.
There's a lie, many lies.
Mm-hmm.
I was walking down by the square right over here, the park, where that was the ground zero for the sidewalk initially. Go through there now and see how the grass has grown over and encroaching closer to the planter boxes and the dirt. And you try being a person in a wheelchair and then try passing someone, and you just see
well
how the Nazi have just raised all that hell and sent people in the black boots and chased the homeless out, and then now the sidewalks are not really sidewalks anymore.
Well, you know, I watched the debate about Carol Fukunaga and Sam Iona.
Mm-hmm.
On and you can get it because it was streamed live, but they have it archived on PBS Insight. And Mr. Iona was challenging her on the conditions of Chinatown because she is the council person for that district. And okay. She made every excuse, and you need to see it. She just made excuses. Oh, well, it's this, and it's going to be this, and it's going to do. And he said, well, what are you doing now? What is this going to do?
Well, I'm going to have to send you one of the special guests, Carol Cox, cards. You succeeded in diverting the conversation away from Caldwell. I must tell you, a $50 gift certificate for you.
No.
This is
Caldwell are together on exactly what you're saying about that area you're talking about. I don't understand why they have this hard on for homeless people, for helpless hippopotamus,
yeah,
for all of these. I don't get that. I don't understand what that's about.
Well, I tell you, in my understanding of it, in my observation, and those of you out there that have different, I don't believe it's when you become an implement of a big business and you start receiving their money and with promises that family members can get hired and you can make money and your friends can make money and down the road you'll get a golden parachute. I think that's what we're looking at here. We learn that Howard Hughes is coming to town, but he's already been in talks with HCDA, who was in place for a while but was being manhandled by Abercrombie. These are the things we need to speak specifically to. We don't have to go chase and dream up examples and talk in theory. There's something amongst us that is an illness, and that illness is that we've separated the people from their government. And so Caldwell is purposely, he's presenting himself as a tool to big business, as many other politicians are in here. Mufi Hanneman is just that. You open the tool shed of the big business people here, you're going to see a shovel with Mufi Hanneman's face on it. You know, Iona, you're going to see. These people, they've lost contact with what they're supposed to be doing, the people's government. And business is people nowadays. The Supreme Court acknowledged that. But at least be fair and balanced and open and transparent. We don't have that.
Yes, we don't. And it was amazing to me. Well, you know, Kirk Caldwell is a tool, as you said, of Mufi, because Mufi was the one that put him in place.
But now, that little note, they are not at good terms now, you know, because, hey, he parlayed this whole kindness factor that Mufi extended to him. He might become your mayor, or, you know, this guy with the plaid shirt might just be your senator one day, you know. This is the same guy who gets to pay $300 in taxes because he has a historical house. Isn't it funny when you look at Kirk Caldwell and you look at his association with all of these things? Go look at the staff that he hired. Young, vibrant people that have learned become educated, corporatized. You talk to them and they're going to be right no matter what you're asking.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what. They talk over you. They forget that this is, I don't know what school they went to, but they purposely pick these guys who talk over you, run in there, and you're going, well, wait, I just wanted to ask, why did you not answer my questions? And you're answering everyone else's questions when I raise these questions first. Well, then you get a lecture. You don't understand. You ask too many questions. Oh, really? So when the media asks, if there's 10 media sources asking you questions, how can mine be too many?
Well, because theirs are superficial. Yours are in-depth.
Well, yeah, I won't, yeah, you can, I'll let you say that, but again.
It's true.
Yeah.
You read, and the newspaper, and the one and only newspaper, and you look at the 30 seconds they devote to any subject on the evening news, except somebody got murdered, or an automobile accident, but they don't do any in-depth, so they know that these people, whatever question, answer, the city gives them, that's what they take.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to impugn the integrity of the media. I just know that they're operating differently. I have, let's say, maybe five things at one time I'm working on, and there's no limit. They're working in a box. They, when the media, and I know some of you may disagree or whatever, and I'm not defending them, but it's to understand that when you're putting a package together in 30 minutes, you don't have the time to go get all of the details. And secondly, you don't believe that your mayor is going to lie to you and tell you that an animal is, they close the work down because of a grievance. Oh, that sounds humanitarian. That's a whole different story. Mr. Mayor, you're a good guy. When in fact, the mayor is lying.
Well, you can't let a hippopotamus that weight out of the water because it'll suffocate.
Yeah. Well,
you can't do that to a hippopotamus. That in itself is inhumane.
Well, yeah, I want to see the elephant in the room with Caldwell. Hold on here. Paula, good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking my call. I want to call about the Mayor Caldwell. I'll read the last paragraph of today's David Shapiro. And if current Mayor Kirk Caldwell and City Council don't clean up the excuse-making heart hierarchy that's complicit in the poor decisions, give them a share of the bill, too. Here is just one item after another. Increase bus fares, raid property tax, hike the gas tax, higher taxes. This is all Caldwell. Mayor's campaign promise on rail is a mixed bag so far. Sunday, February 9th, 2014. Caldwell not hiding his desire for more revenue. Mayoral hopeful must detail vision. They are not being specific about taxes and all daily life problems for the people of Hawaii. Here's a cartoon about city yard sale, help pay for police pay, collect tax for sale, and there is Caldwell in the front. Ethics Committee investigates Caldwell team. Mayor plans town hall sessions in communities around Oahu. That is a big farce. It's adversarial for him. Council rejects fuel tax 6-0. That's what Caldwell brought up. Cayetano takes on Caldwell as his primary important, etc., 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 etc. And one, we need to build rail, but it can be improved. Caldwell is the one who said, we can hide the elevated guideway behind trees and buildings as it comes closer to town.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wanted me to go on, I would.
Well,
perhaps there's enough there to.
Just mention the name Caldwell is synonymous with corruption.
Exactly.
And I'm sorry if I love it when people diminish my stature to lessen human being and be more concerned with the grievance of a crying hippo than me, him affording me the rights that I'm entitled to under the state's constitution and under the federal constitution.
Yes.
You see, I am put animals before people. And
here is one of the very best. Thursday, 11-8-2012. Caldwell must keep promises. If I were to specifically talk very, very quickly about the handy van, you had three fires. There were many more fires. Caldwell did nothing. Now there are supposedly new vans on the road. And never intervene on behalf of the fires. He didn't. Yeah. I've tried to follow.
Well, again, I chose the hippopotamus. Situation. You can insert anything in it. That's my point.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You understand? And
yeah.
and that's the point. Whether it be Zuzus or buttons on a shirt,
yes.
If Caldwell has something to do with it, it's tainted with corruptions and special favors. If the man had any concerns for image, he would volunteer in these hard times to give up his $300 a year tax, that situation with his, quote, historical house.
Yes.
You understand? If he, so I don't get upset, like I tell his staff, you guys are trained with this corporatized education you got now to slam and block and bridge the public's interest. But remember, you're not running a business. You're running a government.
Yes.
And so when we see that, and they seem to have forgotten that, but this is, you're trained to forget the people that you're supposed to be working for.
Yes, absolutely.
Right?
And
so,
your comments about the inability to walk on certain places. The mayor, the governor has talked about making this an ideal community for the senior citizens. That's just a joke.
Yeah, I mean, let's call it what it is. And you know, we hammer Mufi Hanneman for his failures, and we hammer others. But the man with the blue checkered shirt on, that's a ruse in itself. It's a sham. It's you put that on, and immediately it'll make me impervious and to any criticism, because I'm one of the brothers. I come from the plantation, you know. And so he win you over because he think that it's the image, but the real image that he is not manning or managing. And these things will follow you. If you don't believe it, call up Neil Abercrombie and ask him. It takes time.
Yes. I just thank you for taking my call. But just to confirm everything, that you're more generally about him as opposed to just the animals. But I feel for the animals also, and it's... thank you very much, Mr. Cox.
All righty. How's your coffee this morning?
I'm moderate.
You must have had a
double Daniels with a
decaffeinated, because usually I get a high-octane Richard.
No, I'm ready to go. I've got Carlisle in front of me and Mufi in front of me, and I'm ready to go without taking a breath for the next 2 hours.
The politicians in this town think that the average voter is asleep somewhere. You know that?
I tell you what, I'm beginning to think that it could only happen here. You know what? I'm going to go on just for a bit. I'm from San Francisco, and I'll tell you the solution is, I'd rather have a civil disobedience with wheelchair. A wheelchair civil disobedience, because for me personally, it's reached that point. Forget the talk, forget the writing, shuffling of papers. 6 years now I've tried to follow this. And it's time for something more than just talking, because they don't listen.
I would just agree with you and steal from you and say that maybe we should just take a mannequin and put him in there and name him rights, people's rights.
Yes.
And that it's being crippled by these so-called politicians who've got every good intention for us.
Yes.
But then you can't talk to them. You can't get them to answer questions. You can't.
Mr. Cox, you know this far, far, far better than I. But it's useless to go to the media, because the media is controlled.
Well,
I do not think that it were I to, well, not I, but I'm not sure what they include or don't in terms of anything you send to them. I've given many documents to them.
Yeah.
Documents, not my opinions.
But what is the media supposed to do when the people, first of all, we criticize the media, and I have a parallel, and then we're coming down to the last couple of minutes of this hour.
Sure.
But this is the parallel. We the people say, oh, the media is bad, and the media don't tell the story, and the media don't do in depth. And then the media says, well, what the hell? You dummies vote for the same people every time. You know, we give you stories. We put, when we do a story out there, you're so forgiving and kind and so much aloha. What the hell? We may have just turned the evening news into a gong show.
Revolving door.
No, no. But, I mean, see, this is the problem when we blame others, the media, as if it's a living entity. But the reality is, if they put one story up there, you, for example, you got Nestor Garcia. We know what he did.
Yes, I do.
Okay, we know what he did. He's now telling you the news in the evening.
Yes.
And do you see any citizens complaining about the trust, and how can you trust his delivery? You see, so when we criticize the media, we're basically refusing to address our own frailties and weaknesses and inability to stand up and speak out. See, that's what we've been diminished to. Our stature has been diminished to a point where we are just whiners and moaners, and I think that Caldwell has the right solution. Stick a bottle in their mouth. All they do is whine, because you ain't got to worry about it. Just give them a little bit of pablum and a little pacifier. And, you know, and here, in fact, give me my blue shirt. There's a parade. I'm going to go out there. There's a parade on, you know, same-sex and gay parade and Martin Luther King. I'm out there. But then ask him, how many African-Americans did he assign and point to his staff? How many? What's his recruiting program? Did he reach out and, you know? So I'm here to tell you the truth. It's not about hippopotamus. It's about the elephant in the room.
Oh, that's what I tried to say this morning. And I have so many documents from the Ethics Committee about Nestor Garcia, and I'm sure there's others involved.
The Ethics Committee?
Yes.
What is that? Is that like a gas station with the sign says open but no gas?
Believe me, it's they're in the pocket. They're in the pocket. I've got the documents, but nothing was done. He was fined, and then he went right back to the city council, and he got the vote again.
And we're going to talk about him a little bit. I ask, we're going to be talking about taxes, and I got some interesting thing, again, consistent for Mayor Carlisle, or Carlisle, or Caldwell. I get those C's mixed up. But he refuses and have failed to, with the aid of city council and state legislators, to fill Board 3. And we're going to talk about it in the next hour, and I'll see you folks in the next hour. So,
thank you very much.
Marsha, you can call back, and we're definitely going to talk about this, and hopefully something come out. But, again, please call the mayor and let him know, or I ask that you do, for the kindness of this animal, when are they going to start this project of the filtration of that water? Because nobody should imagine having to drink coffee and stand on your head and eat donuts in the morning with breakfast, or eat your breakfast while you're breathing and eating your urine and your fecal matter, and it's in your eyes, and yet you don't care about that for years, and then all of a sudden this, all of this activity kills you, and then, oh my, we must care about them. Tell the public we're concerned and we want them to grieve. Anyway, we'll see you in the next hour.
Glamour girl, glamour girl, I'm cutting out on you. Glamour girl, glamour girl, I've found you'll never do. You just a play type of baby, and I ain't got no use for you. Seven days you play the races, seven nights you stay out late. You always caught in funny places, every guy you think he's great. Glamour girl, glamour girl, I've found you'll never do. You just a play type of baby, and I ain't got no use for you. Twelve o'clock is rising hours, You think that's a crime? You better get you another place for Charlie.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.
News Radio, I'm David.
Wait. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Aloha again. Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show, the second half. 524-1080 is the number, and you can pick us up at carol@carolcox.com. The email, or go to carolcox.com, click on Listen Live on the Internet, and you can listen there on your iPod, your iPad, your cell phone, and computer, whatever you got. And again, we're talking, just to bring a little closure to this, I'm going to post that letter up, the real, now I'm taking the liberty of applying this one answer, this formal letter. A work stoppage by the city and county notifying the work on the filtration system for the hippos was put on hold after the death of that animal. Nothing to do with the grievance that they wanted to allow the animal. And then $3 million practically, they haven't clarified what they're going to do, and taxpayers' money sits in limbo and taxpayers' interest. In the meantime, we're still dumping 30,000 to 40,000 gallons of water per day, I'm told. And in closing, on the specific hippopotamus subject, I was fortunate to talk to people that are more honest than the people that are willing to hide from you and lie to you as taxpayers. And there are very honest city workers and state workers, and probably the bulk of them, 99% of them, or a lot more probably, they are honest. The problem is, and what they convey to me is that why should they stick their neck out when there's this apathetic public who will, they will take their chances, come clear, come clean, the public gets served with their, oh, okay, that's a really good story. How dare that guy do that? And then they leave the whistleblower left to fend for himself. So your inactions or your apathetic behavior or buying into, well, they must have done something wrong, discourages people from coming. But I'm fortunate enough that in this situation, I was alerted by honest city workers and other workers and citizens who knew this and told me, put me on the right trail to say, it had nothing to do with the grieving of the animals, that the city shut it down specifically related to the noise and that dust and activities and stress that may have contributed to the death of this animal. I take the liberty of making any statement I wish, because still yet I have asked the mayor questions formally. He has yet to answer me. He's required me to put my questions in UIP form. And so that being the case, the whole world is fair play for me as far as that. You will never cage me with your inactions or your, you know, surreptitious behavior to avoid answering and providing me transparency. You may not think I'm much, but I think a lot of myself, and I believe my purpose that I've assigned myself. That's a difference between being told to do it by others. I love this. So, Mr. Mayor, I'll ask you again, come clean with this animal, because now my next goal is to go forward and file a complaint with the AAZP and all of that, unless I can get some assurance. And I will even ask about the accreditation, because if you are willing to lie like this about an animal when it's not your fault, it was bad decisions. Workers told me, they had told the city managers and all, let's move this animal because the stress may kill it. The activities and all of the noise and the activities of the work may kill this animal. And they said, no, we don't want to spend the money. Now, again, if you ask the mayor, it's about grieving. I'm saying I'm taking the liberty. If you don't talk to me, then I'll talk to myself. So anyway, I know that's a different way of approaching it in what you see in most situations. We wait until they make a statement. Well, the world turns as they are waiting to, with their ploy to undermine, work ahead of you. So it's a lie. The animal died, and nothing to do with the grievance of them shutting the work down. And taxpayers are paying for that water to be dumped by the ton or by the gallon, so 40,000 gallons a day, I'm told. But workers informed me there that had direct observation and had direct knowledge that it was could have been avoided. They were originally, when they started back in January, they would have, some of the city workers and all observed this, and they would see the animals being taken out, left in the night and taken out in the morning, and the work would be held off, and then they would put them back in the pond, and they'd go back to work. Then it changed to where they were left out all night out of the pond. So, Mr. Mayor, if you have a different answer or the facts serve you differently in your purposes, feel free to call me. I'm not going to seek any more answers from you on this, and I'm going to take the liberty of speaking, because free speech, first of all. And if you treat me as if I'm subhuman and don't deserve the respect that you give other media people or other people, then I know what you've assigned me, my title and my purpose and my stature. So I think more than you think of me. So anyway, caller, good morning. Go ahead. You have a comment or question?
I think it's very important to tell you how much I like hippopotami, musususususu. They're called water pigs in Africa. They're considered a delicacy when you cut their rear side and dig in with your hand and pull out some fat. They say it's like eating candy. I think the hippopotamus is typical of the type of treatment you get in this state. The parents here are dumb. The government is dumber. And they don't want to be educated. They're stuck on stupid. You can be ignorant and learn, but when you turn to stupid, that's too bad. That affects us all. And children I might have one day, and we're putting an end to this. Absolutely, Carol.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'd like to colonize this island with hippopotami, because they are that delicacy. They're called a water pig, and I'd like some hippopotami bacon every morning for breakfast, sir.
All righty. Well,
thank you.
The fat's going to hit the fire if you keep talking like that.
All right. Bye.
Okay, thank you. All righty.
Good morning.
Okay, so I'm going to change tracks here, and we're going to talk about the something that I've talked about already. And again, I don't want to sound redundant and repetitive, but I'm dealing with an agency and a government that refuses to treat me in a timely fashion and respect my rights. And so I will talk about it as it trickles in. So we talked earlier, as sharing with you, the listener, the taxpayer, about taxation with representation. And specifically, we started this conversation 2 weeks ago about a board of review, simply meaning you have a right as a property owner. And I'm going to steal from this document that or a report. And so rather, I'm not a tax expert. I don't know what the heck I'm talking about, to be honest with you. But I can read and match dots and alphabets. I can do that. So you have a right to appeal your tax assessment, the assessed value. So we're going to start with that. So this is a report now that is annually provided by these company, these boards. Board of Review Annual Report for Tax Year 2013. I'm going to just read that. And there are three boards of review. Board 1, Board 2, Board 3. And all three boards review, resolve real property assessment and disallowance exemptions, disputes between taxpayers and city real property assessor. The boards consist of 5 members who are appointed by the mayor and confirmed by the city council for staggered terms up to 5 years. These are not my words. Now, this is what the HAR or ROH talks about. Appeals. Appeals are mainly concerned with valuation based on and interpreted by the city real property assessor. For real property tax appeals, the ROH section 823.3 specifies 4 grounds for appeal. So if you didn't know this, I'm going to post this up on carolcox.com. I'm not a tax expert. I'm not giving you legal advice. I'm just trying to assemble some pieces of this puzzle so that you, like I, will understand and know that we can question the taxes that are assessed to us, but how can we if the system that's designed by the Constitution is broken or not properly manned? So for real property taxes, appeal ROH 23, assessments of the property in question exceeds by more than 10% of the market value of the property, or lack of uniformity or inequality brought about by illegality of the methods used or error in the application of the methods to the property involved. 3, these are reasons why, how you can justify an appeal, or they're saying why, how you can appeal. Denial of an exemption to which the taxpayer is entitled to and for which person has qualified, or 4, illegality based on any grounds arising under the Constitution or laws of the United States or laws of the State of Hawaii or the ordinances of the City and County of Honolulu, in addition to grounds of illegality of methods used, mentioned in Clause 2. Now, this is just giving you the reasons why you can and how you can use to justify why you want an appeal. The three boards, these are recommendations these boards made. The three boards listen to thousands of appeals each year and try to keep an excellent rapport between the taxpayer and the city. The board members listen to appellants, young and old, presenting their evidence and concerns because of manpower shortages in the assessor's office. There has often been a backlog of 2, 3, and 4 even and even 4 appeals from the same appellate on his or her property. So what they're saying is they're not properly staffed or on demand, and yet you as a taxpayer, if you do choose to appeal, you might find yourself filing 4 times and still not be heard. Is that taxation with representation? Does it defy or deny you the right when they know that they can't serve you? So to add trouble to that and convolute it or make it more problematic, the mayor then leaves one of the boards vacant without letting them operate, but they have no quorum because you heard 5 people, but they have no quorum, so therefore they're not a viable board, and so therefore they are not hearing any cases. But if you ask the mayor, he'll tell you and his staff and others, but they can refer, you can ask another board to hear your matters. But listen to that. How can you rely on that when it is said in their own reports, these boards, that they have a shortage of manpower and can't really hear these cases? So it becomes a really big problem. Are you being represented? I would say the mayor has refused. But I would also say, reminding you, that it says that the city council must do what? Approve after the mayor appoints. So why wouldn't the city council, in this case, Arnie Martin, Kimberly Pine, Carol, well, no, I don't know if Carol, whoever goes to Fort Shafter, but other city council members. Oh, Ron Manor, he's city council. Why has he not put pressure on the mayor so that people in Region 3 or District 3 can benefit? Go ahead, Marcia. You have a comment.
Oh, yeah. I'm reading as you the same document as you said. Now, it says here, Board 3 had a real positive impact on reducing the caseload and making the residents feel the city is responding to the people's needs.
Now, what year is that? Be careful. That's the point I was going to tell. What year is that? Is that document, that report?
Board of Review Annual Report for the tax year 2013.
Okay, that's 2013. Okay.
Okay. Now, I don't know who wrote this.
Well, it says right there, the three boards get together and they, rather than write a one report, they combine their efforts and write one.
Yeah, I see. Okay. Now, it says here, Board 3 lost enough members in the past year that they no longer have a quorum.
Mm-hmm.
Board 3 currently has only two members. The mayor's office has been notified that Board 3 needs more members appointed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that board, for anyone listening, is West Oahu, Eva, Kapolei, Nanakuli, Makaha, Ocean Point, etc., whatever etc. is, etc. So, it is recommended that all board hearings have a member from the Office of the Corporation Counsel present to review any and all legal questions that may arise.
Mm-hmm. And then what? I mean, there's read that statement back again where it says that they've done a good job.
Yeah, well, that one.
Well, just read it.
I highlighted that.
Yeah, I know, but read it if you would, please. You mentioned in 2012.
The three boards listen to thousands of appeals each year and try to keep an excellent rapport between the taxpayer and the city.
Mm-hmm.
The board members listen to appellants, young and old, presenting their evidence and concerns. Because of manpower shortage in the assessor's office, there has been a backlog of 2, 3, and sometimes even 4 appeals for the same appellant and his or her property valuations of consecutive years. It may not be the best interest of the city to lump all the appeals of conservative years together.
And the following statement is Board 3.
Board 3 had a real positive impact on reducing the caseload and making the residents feel like the city is responding to the people's needs in West Oahu.
And that is...
But there is no board.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
We've already stated that about in West Oahu. Eva, Kapolei, Nanakuli, Makaha, Ocean Point, etc., Mililani. So, based on that statement, Board 3 is having a real positive impact. And this is 2012, impact on reducing the caseloads. And this is why you have to be careful and when you read something, not trust it to be on face value. And you and I won't have this other piece. And let me just share with you, keep in mind, that was 2012. This Board 3 is having a real positive impact on reducing the caseloads. Okay, I have a report here that I got from the assessor's office. My God, and was it difficult? And I had to drive downtown to pay them $4.25 to get 8 pages when they could have sent it to me. But I was told I can't receive information like that by the mayor's staff because I have to put it in a UIPA form. But we got it anyway. So yeah. Here it is. They claim that Board 3 is doing good. So Board 3 in 2014 now, the number of cases closed in Board 3, right, is zero.
Zero.
Wait. Don't try to. We're not trying to match, outdo one another here. Board 3, zero. That's 2014. Board 3 in 2013, zero fielded, zero cases closed. In 2012, zero. 2011, zero. 2010, zero. 2009, zero. But then it moves down here. Now, remember that they're doing a good job, a real positive in reducing the case loads. So go down to the settlements, taxpayers prevail. Board 1 had 239. Board 2 had 2. Board 3 had 0. In 2014, 2013, 0. 2012, 0. So you're being taxed, but you don't have representation. And if you dare try to submit it for another district, you might have be to deal with the backlog, and you might, on rare occasions, be hurt. Now, how is it that our friend, our trusted leader, Kurt Caldwell, would bring himself to the mirror in the morning knowing that he is denying the constitutional rights of others? He gets his tax break on the $300 house, the $1 million or $2 million of his house because it's historic. He has no problem. But when he looks in the mirror to shave himself, and mind you, he don't even cut himself. That's how cool-handed he is, because he's sticking it to you and me. And knowing that he leaves a board without quorum, so you therefore can't challenge his taxes, and you can't see a reduction in what he's submitting to the federal government as total dollars that he's going to get, because if he does that, it impacts his little choo-choo train. See, little boys like little toys, and a train is the most fascinating thing to these guys. They'll do anything to get that train, to see it go, woo-woo! You see, something's wrong with this picture, folks. When we are covering up, we talk about PRP and the benefits that he's receiving, but how can he, in good conscience, allow? And then how can the city council, Kimberly Pine, Ron Manor, Ernie Martin, allow this thing to develop into the state when they know that they are approving taxes, they are voting on taxes, but we as citizens don't have a right to challenge these taxes? How is that?
Look at on this back page where it says here, Board 1, taxpayers prevailed. 34.7%. Taxpayers prevailed. Board 2, 17%. Total number, and so tax Board 3, the line is empty.
Right.
Taxpayers prevailed 33%. That means that a lot of people got nothing.
Well, that was one of the other points, and thanks for mentioning it. But you see, in this form, and we're going to post this up too. And mind you, this is only a start in my mind, so that you, the taxpayer, if some of you out there feel you need to appeal or need to figure out how you can appeal, I'm just going to post this up. There's nothing fancy about it, but it's a good start to give you some insight, and maybe you can consult a legal person, a minded person, or an attorney. But it is so badly broken, and for me to get this 17 document pages, I had to spend a drive from Mililani, and just to give you this Caldwell, the trickery. If he likes you and you pat him on his back and you make him look good, the world is yours. But if you ask a question that might be problematic to his presentation, what the lie that he's advancing and protecting his train, he treats you this way. I file a list of questions with the assessor's office. They were so kind, one of the best offices you'll ever see in city government. ever. I'm not lying to you. There's Angema as courteous, and there's another person there that Lay is her name. I mean, I was inclined and motivated to write them and say, you have restored my belief in government to some degree, because I don't witness that. Even when the mayor has ordered, and his whoever it is has ordered, that Carol Cox, when asking questions, make him fill out a form. Don't accept questions from him like you would the other media. But it's okay. But they gave me, and legally now, they didn't do me any favors, but I asked them for these documents. And let me just share with you. I went down there. I get the call. The documents available on Bethel Street. I go down there. It's $4.50 for 8 pages. Now, I got to spend gas money, time, when they can email me these documents now, the ones I'm reading to you now. But they didn't. Wouldn't do that, because they've been ordered by the Caldwell administration, Caldwell himself, to make it as hard as they can for me, Carol Cox. Don't give him anything. Make him hop the hoop. So I have to drive down, spend time, find parking, to get 8 pages. So now there's a second half to this in the same request. So they said, well, we're still working on that, and we'll give it in parts. Well, can you email me that, and can I pay you in advance? I have no problem. No, you'll have to come back tomorrow and get them. So I had to make 2 trips from Mililani and spend $9.75 to get 17 pages. And to show you, I just want to show you that this is the Slick Rick, and why you and I don't think I'm sitting here on the radio trying to win you over and whine to you about my problems. I'm just trying to convey to you a clear picture of what we have in the man in the plaid blue shirt, what he really is. And I'm taking the clothes off the emperor, and to show you that it's a facade. He doesn't have muscles. He's not the brawn. He's not the man that he presents himself. He's wicked. And let me demonstrate. I asked them in a written form how many appeals were submitted to the boards of review for tax year 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013. Okay. They say, you asked a series of questions, and then they gave me of the number of appeals submitted, how many were for each of the boards, 1, 2, and 3. This information requires a compilation of records that are not readily retrievable. But you just heard me read to you, and there's other documents that they gave me that shows exactly how many documents, how many people appealed, and how many was resolved. You understand? So, again, that was one. Then they go on to say, I asked the question, how many of the total number of appeals were denied a hearing? Not applicable. Valid appeals are not denied a hearing. Right? So, in other words, how many appeals that were submitted, they then split the hair and say, well, if it's a valid one, they're not denied. I'm asking how many in total are denied when they submit. Okay. This is another question. Has Board of Review number 3 been operating without a full membership or a quorum? If yes, how long? Please provide dates or the period of time a lack of quorum existed or continues. Get this. This is the Carlisle. Now, I'm not making this crap up, folks. I'm showing you how petty he is and demonic he is with this behavior. He believes that someone as small and as insignificant as me, as a title he's assigned to me, a statue, that he has to go to this length, take these measures. How many of the total number of appeals were denied? Has a Board of Review been operating without a full membership or quorum? If yes, how long? Please provide dates or period of time a lack of quorum existed or continues. They say, please contact the mayor's office for more information regarding this question. If Review Board 3 is not fully functional due to the lack of quorum and no appeals are being heard, where do taxpayers or property owners from District 3 have their appeals heard. Please contact the mayor's office for more information regarding this question. Who is responsible for selecting and appointing members of the review boards? Please contact the mayor's office for more information regarding this question. What are the reasons for review boards not being fully staffed? Please contact the mayor's office for more information. And when I contact the mayor's office, you know what I get? We're working on it, Mr. Cox. We want to be accurate when we respond to you, but, you know, make sure you put it into a form. Now, well, I've already written it to you. It's the UIP says one may be required to make a written request, and I did that. They sit on it and then wait for you, and then after a couple days or a week, they then write you back, oh, by the way, the question you've asked, you need to put them on a form. So then you file the form. Oh, the date starts the day that you file the form. They have 10 days to respond. Call a good morning. You have a comment or question?
Thank you very much. I'll be quick, I hope. People of Hawaii don't understand that the rail is a Trojan horse. It wasn't first, second, third priority. Not about safe, quick mass transit. It was about heartland contractors. Transit-oriented development. Here is an article from May 11, 2012. TOD, Transit-Oriented Developers, say legislative help is needed. Senate Bill 2927, which was introduced by Donovan Dela Cruz, would have waived development fees and eased some requirements for transit-oriented development or TOD near the rails 21 stations. And that is what the whole damn thing was about. And the relationship to Caldwell, Carlisle, Mufi, all of them, it was never about rail movement of people. It was just a Trojan horse.
Mm-hmm. Well, we look at these reports, border review reports that submitted annually, and to the city council, mind you. So the city council, and Kimberly Pine, Ernie Martin, and Ron Manor knows exactly what is required, and they receive these. The requirements to submit these reports, and how then can an entire region, district, not have fair representation or fair access to appeal? Just because the government says you owe $10, you might have a reason to say, no, I only owe you one. But where do you appeal? Taxation without representation.
No, absolutely. I understand now. I didn't understand before. I do now, thanks to your program.
And then you see it makes it more convoluted is that they admit in these reports that people can file four times and still not be heard.
Yes.
So take it or leave it, man.
I don't know if you... I don't want to... divert from what you're saying.
Well, don't.
Well, yeah.
Go ahead.
Ann Kobayashi, chairman of the budget committee, has denied the HART money and line of credit. She said, well, you're asking for the taxpayers' money. You've not justified what you want to do. And Stanley Chang, her vice chairman, seconds it, and it goes through.
Yeah.
And that's how the money goes through the city council.
Well, I'm here to just alarm and alert you. You do what you want with this information. Some of you may go, you know, that guy is really, he's off his rockers and he's really volatile. Then I say amen to that, folks, because there's nothing like being apathetic and having to reach it deep in your pockets and pay two at the same time. You know, how was the kiss? Was it good? I don't know, but here's more money.
It's like the Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah.
I'll end now, but I appreciate everything you do. It's very, very educational, especially about taxes and monetary subjects. So thank you very much.
You're welcome, Richard. All righty. Go ahead.
You know, there's one thing we're leaving out. First of all, for anybody listening that has not filed for an exemption, you have until September 30, I think it is. And they don't tell you that. The city does not tell you that, A, if you're a disabled veteran, get an exemption. If you're a certain age, you get an exemption. The city does not tell you that, hey, September 30, you've got to file before then. So anybody that's listening, it's almost September.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's filing for the exemption. You can go to the Satellite City Hall and get the application.
Right, okay.
But they don't tell you that.
Well, again, why would you tell them? Because if you're relying on their tax dollars to present to the feds and everybody else, see, we got matching funds, and, you know, they're walking on ice, thin ice anyway with their tax problems, with their rail problems now, and new bids, and overbid and underbid and what have you. They have to be as silent as a church mouse.
The city failed to inform taxpayers of this increase that we got last year, which they said was from 3 to 6, but it turned out to be 71%.
Yeah, well, let's look at...
They knew, and they didn't tell people it was coming.
Yeah,
so when everybody gets upset to appeal, there's no board.
Right. Well, again, is it a cooperation, a coercion, and participation? Are these cohorts? Is Kimberly Pine and Ron Manora and Ernie Martin, even though Ernie is at the throat of the mayor because he wants to take his seat, are they working in concert with one another?
Of course.
You know, I mean, because the other flip side of that, see, they all say, some of them say maybe they didn't, but they supported it because there are unions, and you don't want to do anything to undermine that on the part of the city council, because you get union support, and they bring jobs. You understand? So, but I want to read something else here, and mind you, this is in a report that is filed by the boards now, not me. I'm not going to take guesses at this. For the tax year 2013, item 5, recommendations. The three boards listen to thousands of appeals each year and try to keep an excellent rapport. Well, first of all, they lump everything in thousands. But when you see Region 3, it has no representation. So how could it have heard any? Right? And then they want to keep an excellent rapport between the taxpayer and the city. The board members listen to appellants, and I read this before, young and old, presenting their evidence and concerns. Because of manpower shortages in the assessor's office, there has been a backlog of 2, 3, sometimes even 4 appeals. Okay, so then it may be in the best interest of the city to lump all the appeals of consecutive years together, right? Then it goes on, Board 3 had a real positive impact. And I read that to you, but I'm not being repetitive. I'm just trying to get a point across to you. It is recommended. And then it goes on to say that, however, Board 3 lost enough members in the past year that they no longer have quorum. Board 3 currently has 2 members. The mayor's office, so I repeated what I read so you can understand that I'm not assigning this responsibility to the mayor. This is through ROH, and this is the real law, the rules. The mayor's office has been notified that Board 3 needs more members appointed. This was done in the year of 2013. The mayor has failed to do anything publicly. Now, I know the way he operates and his little guy sitting there waiting to catch a guy in the lie, you know, to undermine what Carol Cox and the likes of him may claim. He's probably sitting there and going to pop up and says, oh, I was working on that. Well, then give the taxpayer a break and then allow them to appeal, those that wanted to appeal or attempted to appeal and failed to get any attention to their cases. Start from there. Pick a board.
Yeah, Carol, can I attention to the pages aren't numbered, dear. Okay, recommendations. And it says the people's needs of West Oahu. Did you notice? There's only 3 boards, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that includes Ernie Martin's district also. They only list the West Oahu in Kimberly Pines area. They don't call attention to Ernie Martin. And Ernie Martin knows, but no mention of his disease.
Well, they say et cetera. But Kimberly Pine, look, let's just call it what it is. This is not the Perry Mason show where we defend politicians, okay? I don't care if he did name Arne Mann. I sat here and just told you it was his district and everything else. The stink sticks with Carlisle. The stink with the Caldwell. The stink sticks with Kimberly Pine. Whether they mention in there or not, she still is consistent with this whole thing. Ron Manor, he didn't do anything either. So they're all, and I've adequately named. We don't need to defend and point fingers at them.
I don't mean to defend.
Yeah, but I've already said in my presentation or discussion that Arne Martin and Ron Manor. So I don't think it escapes the listeners out there. We know that. So I just get the feeling that we have to, for some reason, say something nice about her. The nice show, the Carol Cox nice show for politicians. So
okay, but you know we had Donovan De La Cruz in the city council.
Okay,
this was Board 3 was his.
Well, let's do a paper mache of him too.
And according to this graph, the Board 3 did not hear anybody the years he was in the city council.
Well, there's another reason. We need to be timely in our, if we know these things, we need to be timely in letting people know this so when they're selling us a bill of goods. This again brings back my very point, my little simple approach. When someone stands on a street corner, there's two things we can do to make better politicians. When someone stands on a street corner and waves at you in the afternoon traffic, tell them to go to hell. You ain't voting for them. Because you have no personal contact. You don't know what the hell they're even thinking, not let alone what they're saying, first of all. That's one. Two, if they're raking in big bucks from, and it seems they pride themselves, he has a war chest. Well, guess what? In that itself, in that statement, if you got a war chest, then you must be an implement of big business, because the little man don't have that, and therefore, who pays gets to play. That's two things here the Hawaiian voter can incorporate in their thoughts, and I know what the argument's going to be. Well, a poor guy ain't going to be able to manage business. No. A poor guy or a guy that don't have a war chest may be the most honest person doing it out of concern for the people and the welfare of this state and this country and be motivated that way. Have great ideas, but we don't vote for them because we've been suckered in. And get the most colorful sign made in the Philippines for cheap and stand there and go, boy, this is good. Look at all of this. I'm going to vote for him. Why? The guy can't even deliver a straight statement. So if we were to abandon those two aspects, I think we'd see better government, cleaner government tomorrow morning. But
well,
as long...
Did you notice on page 1 of the Board of Review annual report, it says...
For what year? What year? Remember these...
13.
Okay.
13.
Okay.
Page 1.
Mm-hmm.
Board 3 meets at 1 p.m. one Tuesday per month in some month.
Right.
In some month.
Yeah.
Not even a regular meeting time.
Well, see, and again, you heard me say earlier, this is yet another example of why we should be careful of what we read when we read things that's produced by government. And it says right there, right? That how many times did they meet? Board in total meeting approximately 3 times, first weeks, and right? And yet, this is what the boards in unison report. But they lie to us by failing to acknowledge that they don't meet. That, and even if they did meet, it's irrelevant because they don't have a quorum and can't do what?
They can't.
Can't hear anything. So, again, this is that really articulated lie. The lie that... And so, when I say these things, folks, you know, it may hurt some of your feelings or cause you to look at me in a different fashion. I'm only sharing with you what's clearly a broken system that taxes you and me unfairly, that violates our civil rights. if we can just take that part, and I will be the first to say I apologize for the name calling, but please get my point. My point is you're being screwed. Is there a better word for it? I'm sorry. Can you put a more eloquent, caring description of that for me?
No. When they don't even tell you that you can appeal or that you can file for an exemption, that does not require an appeal. It just requires you filling out the form. The city doesn't tell you that these things exist.
Mm-hmm.
They don't tell you these things.
Well,
and they failed to tell the homeowners. And in my case, because we're old folks, would you believe we have to apply every year for an exemption?
Mm-hmm.
I'm 76. Next year I'm not going to be any younger. Why do I have to keep applying for an old age exemption? That makes no sense.
Well, the two of us, you and I, are sitting here telling the taxpayers and the common citizens that they should watch out. And some of them, believe it or not, may go, well, what business is theirs? What do they know about it? Well, I would say this. If Bozo was standing at the bus stop, a clown was standing there, and he said, watch out, you're about to get hit, would you think it was funny or would you think take it serious? Well, we're not clowns and we're not clowning around. We're just simply saying there's something badly broken about the system, and they're purposely tending the lies. Even this report represents they're having meetings. I even tell you the date and the time. You know, how many times out of the month or the year? Or not every month, right?
No, and it says some months.
Some months. When, in fact, don't matter if they were meeting 1,000 months, they're still not able to render an opinion because they don't have a quorum.
They don't have a quorum.
In fact, not only the quorum, in this case, only one person is a viable member.
No, he's not. He just stayed on.
Well, I'm saying, I spoke to this gentleman, and he said he's the only one. The other one just hanging around as a courtesy.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, hold on.
And they get, you'll love this, these commissioners who have to have a background in real estate and have to have all of this stuff. They pay them $25 a meeting.
Well, what does that say about the importance or the value that the city council and the mayor places on that? Hey, give them, they just come in and to protect the taxpayer or avail themselves for a review. Just give them enough for a bologna sandwich, and that should sustain them. So right there, is that whole process needs to be reviewed, and they ask now that it be given $50, some of the board members, and the chairman be given $75 per meeting and a gas mileage. Hold on. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
I just, in regard to the statement by the lady, I wasn't aware that you had to file for income tax evasion. Not evasion.
Okay, Ed, what this is?
for income tax, real estate taxes annually. I think once you file it, it's good unless your status changes.
Now, for property tax.
Yes, real property
tax. For your real property tax, you have to meet.
You file it once you reach the age, and you don't file it again.
Oh, no, sweetheart. We filed once, thought it was forever, and the next year we get a tax statement without it. When I called, that's how I started this process. That's when I called Carol. When they told me, oh no, you have to file every year. This is for property tax.
I just talked to them on Thursday. They said, once you file, it's good unless you sell a house or some.
No.
Okay, hold on. Stop for a minute because we're trying to inform people. Ed, what specifically in your comments that will benefit the taxpayer? Real quick, you could.
As far as I know, there's no requirement when you.
No, I mean, you say you.
Says that you have to do it annually.
Okay, but can the people rely on that? I don't want to be. You say you contacted them and you called the challenge.
I was kind of afraid that if I don't file this year, I wouldn't get the exemption. They said, no, you don't have to file.
Okay.
So it's best you call the tax office to confirm it.
Okay, I got you.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, thank you for calling. Anyway, I'm glad they're listening out there because this is taxes, right?
Yep.
And again, I don't know why I do it, but I this is my way of trying to say to you that I am civil. I'm not, when you hear me say things about Caldwell and others, that is not me 24/7. But sometimes I have to call it what it is and reflect it in my tone, because when you get swiped like I've been swiped and dismissed by these guys who are in government now. Now, if they were in a private business, I'd say they have a right to serve and respond to whomever they like to. It's their right that they reserve. But as a citizen, and as a, you know, a person who's afforded these rights under the Constitution, they don't have the right to sit there and play as to who they will answer and who they want. And then in the process, when I write them a question or list of questions, they tell me I owe them money just to ask them questions, that I have to pay them money. You see, that's a violation of my civil rights. And then it causes me concern that, is it because who I am, not what I am, becomes a problem? Have you diminished my stature because of what I look like? All of those things come into play, because there's no logical explanation for you hiding the truth, first of all, lying to the public, and then when someone like myself asks the question, and then you initiate actions to deny me and disrespect me, and then go on to assault and proclaim to others that I don't know what I'm talking about, I'm making false statements, that becomes a different discussion. You know, assassinating the character because of why and who. So anyway, it's a whole ball of wax that if I was you, I would make me a list for Christmas and put it right over your fireplace. We don't have fireplaces here as many, but and say that Kirk Caldwell is not the people's man. He's demonstrated that in his actions against the homeless. And when he take actions against the homeless, as a citizen, I take it as an affront, because I don't want my government being insensitive and non-caring while being available and availing itself to big business and leaving all of our needs to want and go unattended, while we see him being in great efforts to accommodate big business. And I know you say, I'm small-minded and don't think about the economy. So go ahead, Marcia, real quick. I'm going to let you have a comment, and I'm going to say goodbye.
Okay. Well, thank you for listening to me when I first complained, and now we have unearthed a whole bunch more. And like your caller said, this is all about rail. That's what it is.
But one thing you say, listening to you when you complain. Well, Marcia, that's every day. You and I, that's all we do is complain. that's nothing unique.
Yes, that's true. That's true. But taking it to heart. Thank you.
Yeah, no, this is serious. I know some senior citizens out there, and I know people that lost their jobs are just hanging on, and could an appeal would benefit them. You know, got injured in a car accident, and the wife works or the husband works, and, you know, and we are lying to them, stiffing them. Al Capone would have gone to jail.
Yep.
So anyway, I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Aloha, thank you. Call her real quick, utter your words, and be said.
Okay, I'm wondering, does the public have a chance to nominate these board members and also vote on who gets elected or put on the board, or does the mayor have total control over that?
I don't know, but I will inquire on your behalf and for us too. But keep in mind, if it comes from me, it's going to take another 8 years. But
well, can I just comment on that?
Real quick, because we got no time.
Okay, they told me that these people, since we've been complaining, will have a hearing at the city council on the second Wednesday in September, which is the 10th.
Okay. So,
okay, real quick, you may want to see if you can find the board members that were on there and quit the board or whatever, find out what their complaints would be.
I will. I'll try that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Aloha. All righty, Marcia. Thank you, and thanks for listening to The Carol Cox Show. You can pick it up at carolcox.com. See you next week. Aloha.
This has been The Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to The Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.